Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
You're listening to Talk of Champion. You're listening to Talk of Champions.
Well, the intro's not playing, but welcome in.
Ole Miss Spirit Podcast with Ben Garrett.
Hello, friends. Welcome inside. Well, not the Riverland Roofing Studios. If you can't tell, your friend Ben Garrett is here at the beach. I have been here for all of Ole Miss's now season-ending run in the Oxford Regional. Watched every single game. Actually, last night, met an Ole Miss couple at Cosmos right down the road here in Orange Beach, Perdido Key. And we watched the game with another group of like-minded Ole Miss fans and watched the final outs. Campbell Smithwick's at bat. All the end of the ninth inning that sent Ole Miss into next season, into its future. A tough series loss for Ole Miss in the Oxford Regional. Murray State comes out with a 12-11 win, a 4-seed that had no business, in my opinion, being 4-seed, but also shows the wildness of this particular NCAA tournament. And, you know, I've been thinking about Ole Miss's run this year and trying to contextualize it and trying to put it in the right frame of mind now that we move forward. And there was only one person I could think to bring on to talk to me now that I'm at the beach. I knew he'd be there, first of all. I knew he'd be in Swayze. All right. And then I knew that he'd be able to really help me contextualize nerding out with me here on a live edition of Talk of Champions, powered, as always, by our friends at Riverland Roofing. RiverlandRoofing.com, 662-644-4297. And that man was Mr. Colin Brister. It's been a minute. We were trying to do the math, see? We're trying to do the math about the last time that you're on this podcast, because you originated on Ben's podcasting stuff as like the OG baseball, Ole Miss baseball nerd on the internet. And now you are here to help me make sense of things. First and foremost, my friend, how you doing? It's been a minute.
I'm tired. I'll say that. Yeah. It's been a long weekend of baseball. I went to all the games, and I told somebody, you know, obviously Ole Miss didn't pull it off last night, but
right.
I was like, you know, it'd be really cool if they came through the loser's bracket and won and you know, because I've never done that. But it was the coolest thing. I never wanted them to do again because I am exhausted. Like, I was tired on Sunday after watching two regional baseball games and then having to do it again on Monday. So I'm getting older. Like, I'm 32 mm-hmm. now. And so don't have all the energy that I used to. I'm tired. I'll say that, but obviously Ole Miss didn't pull it off, and that's unfortunate. But it was a fun weekend for people that like baseball. I went to there was only two of them, but I went to the games that Ole Miss didn't play in, that's kind of part of my fun for regional weekend, is I just get to watch baseball. So you know, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed, you know, having postseason baseball back in Oxford. Just kind of sucked that Ole Miss was one run away from hosting a super and wasn't able to score that run.
Yeah, that's the thing that's hardest to take, I think, for most Ole Miss fans on this Tuesday, is you haven't hosted a super regional in Oxford, Mississippi since 2009. And to fall short by one run on Championship Monday. Look, Murray State, we can all agree at this point, shouldn't have been a 4-seed. But at the end of the day, you play the games in front of you, and Ole Miss – took the risk on Friday, tried to set it up with Riley so that Hunter can put him ahead 2-0. get them in the same advantageous position that Murray State was in, that allowed them to have the fallback of, well, you got to beat us twice. Unfortunately, Ole Miss couldn't pull the Tennessee Tech, reverse Tennessee Tech, right? And get it done and advance out of it to host that Super for the first time since 2009. And that's what's been stuck in my brain and why I really wanted you to come on, because, again, you know Ole Miss baseball history better than anybody. I mean, Colin's my dude. We've been talking about this stuff forever. And this program, like this season itself, was exactly the rebound that Ole Miss needed it to be. If it would have been a first-year head coach instead of Mike Bianco, you wouldn't be seeing the same comments today. You said, well, look what this person inherited. And look what they did. They almost did something that Ole Miss hadn't done since 2009. The whole frame, the whole context of what happened this year changes if Mike's not the manager. But because he is, and he's been here going on 26 years now, it's the same hand-wringing. It's the same, well, dead gummit, it's happened again. But for this season by itself, if I'm wrong, tell me, this was exactly what it needed to be. Yes, the ending sucked, but the ending was more about a strategic decision, which I agreed with. See, I agreed with it, right? It just didn't turn out in their favor, right? And they fell a run short, just like they fell a run short in the SEC championship. Is that a fair contextualization, or is it more to it than that? Where are you now that the season is over with the program just overall, you know?
If you had told me in February, hey, Ole Miss is going to host a regional and play Murray State to advance to a super regional, I probably would have asked what drugs you were on. You know, I didn't coming into the year, and it's two different conversations. Coming into the year, I just wanted this team to be a three seed in the regional. I wanted Ole Miss to play postseason baseball, because when you looked at the roster, there was a whole lot of questions, right? Like, we can do this thing with, you know, Judd Uyremark. It's like, we didn't know what Judd Uyremark was going to be. And then he comes out and has a great year. We didn't know what Will Furness was going to be. Again, has a great year. Luke Hill, Mitch Stanford, they hit on all the transfers. And you didn't know that going into the year. It restored some confidence in their ability to recruit in a different era of college baseball, where you have to be able to transfer portal correctly. And to put it mildly, they hadn't over the last 2 years. They hadn't hit on a whole lot of guys. So now there's more belief to me after watching this year in the process. Yes, last night sucked, but when you talk about it from a macro standpoint, you know, it revitalized Ole Miss baseball, because the last 2 years were really, really tough on that program and that fan base. And now I don't know how someone watches this team and goes, well, it's back to same old, same old. It's like, no, they overachieved, and unfortunately they lost game one of a regional, and they weren't able to get it done. To me, and we can get into this, the reason they didn't win last night is because of the last 2 years. They don't have the deep enough pitching staff to be able to carry you through a regional. And that's because they haven't necessarily recruited great from a transfer portal perspective and a pitching perspective out of high school over the last year. So they didn't have the guys that were developed enough to carry you through the loser's bracket. You had to keep asking the same dudes to pitch over and over and over again because you weren't deep enough. And it just didn't happen for you. But the hope is that you did start to recruit well enough this year, and you do start to recruit well enough from the transfer portal, that next year you do have a deep enough staff to be able to come through it if it comes to that, or just to be able to go through the winner's bracket.
The one thing that I get as far as frustration from Ole Miss fans that I've seen both on Twitter, the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, Fleet of On 3 message board, sign up today for just $1, is there's been too many instances where Ole Miss had it set up on a silver platter for them, right, under Mike Bianco, and this is always the result, falling short. You could think of the Super in Arizona. You could think about any number of and pick your be selective with your picking and say, well, hold on now. Yeah, this season was successful, but it's part of a bigger story. Sure. Again, I think you're right here. Going into the year, the decision about Mike was last summer, period. Like, this year was, if he didn't make it back or do a course correct, he was going to be gone. There was a non-renewal of the contract. This was the season that, again, if it were a first-year coach everyone will be saying the future's never been brighter because everyone loves the change. But this was a step in that right direction. I'm not defending Mike so much for his overall record, which is legendary, but still there are some deficiencies. What I am saying is for this year specifically, I had him as a two seed somewhere, right? I said, if they could be a two seed somewhere, Dirty Bird 37 says, good morning, Dirty Bird 37. If any of y'all have some comments you want to leave for me and Colin, get in there right now, ask, because we're talking all about Ole Miss baseball. After Ole Miss, his season comes to an end with a 12-11 loss on Do or Die Monday, Championship Monday with Murray State. But I do think that that narrative is more than fair, Colin, right? It's more than fair to say, hey, yeah, too often in the history of Mike Bianco, this has been the outcome in these types of situations. However, Ole Miss and Keith Carter, by making the decision to bring Mike back for a 25th year, right, after back-to-back losing seasons, letting him take the big swing with the pitching coach, right, make some needed changes, transfer portal, changing things up there as well, Colin. And they go and do that. They fill out their entire starting outfield with transfers. This time around, I know it for a fact, they're going to try to keep Judd Udermark. They're going to try to keep both Austin Folley and Campbell Smithwick. And you might say, well, they're both sophomores. Well, both of them want to catch. Both of them believe themselves to be primary catchers. So that's going to be a tough retention kind of re-recruitment for one of both of them. Austin Folley is a starting catcher, but it's really about Campbell Smithwick. Yeah. He really came on for them as the DH, was a really important hitter for them. So you see where the program outlook and strategy comes into focus. So this season was wildly successful. It ended disappointingly, but what it sets up for next year is, well, now you know the formula. Use the formula, do it again, and next time go a little bit further, because that's what Ole Miss fans want. It's not about wholesale changes right now, right? Especially with how well Ole Miss rebounded, and there's a lot you got to give. Just as you're upset with how it ended, you have to give Mike and staff a ton of credit. For this team was not like the other ones, Colin. I mean, they didn't. There were times where you thought they were going to bottom out too. At the end of the day, though, what bit this team is defense was awful. Yeah. It was so bad. So yeah. You know what they're going to focus on, especially infield defense. I was told that their portal focus mostly this year is going to be on pitching. It has to be. But this season, for what it was by itself, I think all of us can agree. Exactly what it needed to be. But like you said, or like I was kind of floating out there for a second, I understand the frustration, right? And the questions that have always been there are going to be there again. You didn't kick the door down for the super when it was sitting there for you and then go to Omaha, really shut everybody up. You just got to do it again. But for this season, man, it's kind of hard for me to be down today, right? It's kind of hard for me to go, well, because it's just a baseball strategy decision, starting Riley on Friday. Yeah, Wes Hurst said too much pump and sunshine here. Hold up. How are we pumping sunshine? We're sitting here saying it doesn't matter. Like, I've said that I would have gotten rid of Mike before he got to Omaha. Like, he got a lifeline for the 2022 summer, you know, national championship from John Cohen. These last 2 years were abysmal. Keith and Ole Miss would have been completely justified in moving on, but they didn't. And this year was successful. Now, what are the big issues, Colin? What do they have to get done then to ensure that this is now the starting point for a rebirth and revitalization and not just, you know what I mean? Well, nice little end of the year story.
So,
or in the last years of his career story, yeah. You know what I mean?
So I think it's two different conversations, and maybe I'm wrong. But so when you talk about Ole Miss's postseason, success and lack thereof at times, I think there was a conversation about, oh, Ole Miss plays tight during the postseason. Okay, and I'll listen to that argument up until 2022. I don't really think that was a thing yesterday, and I don't think that was a thing this weekend. There was a play, and I know this is innocuous, but there was a play during the Georgia Tech game, okay? Mitchell Sanford in left field. There's two outs, runner at second. And Mitch Sanford has not been the best defensive left fielder. I think anybody would agree with that. But they hit a ball right at him, and he dives and makes a play, okay? A kid that's playing tight plays that off a hop. The run scores for Georgia Tech, and Ole Miss goes down even farther. I don't think they were playing tight. I think they just lost the baseball game yesterday. So the question is, how do you not lose that baseball game in the future? Well, you get better players. Like, and they have good players, but they need to be an elite SEC baseball team. You've got to recruit more elite players. That it's I know this sounds dumb, but you need to be more talented than what you are. And I think a lack of being able to develop pitchers over the past 2 and 3 years for whatever reason has hurt this team. And I think Joel Mangrum is on the way to having a lot of success in that aspect, but it's more than just a 1 year fix. Joel Mangrum really, really wanted Will McCausland when he got here. And I think the evidence shows that he turned out to be pretty good. I think he is going to recruit a really good pitching staff. They pitched differently this year from a pitch calling perspective and what they threw more than any year in the past. And that's obviously because of Joel Mangrum's fingerprints on this program. But I just think from a pitching perspective, not necessarily offensively, but from a pitching perspective, you've just got to keep recruiting really good pitchers that are going to help you out. And they just didn't have enough of them this year once they fell in the loser's bracket, because they just had to keep pitching the same dudes over and over, which means your staff's not deep enough, which means you haven't recruited well enough. So I don't really think this is complex to me. You just have to go keep recruiting good pitchers and developing them and making them SEC level arms. And if you do that, you'll be fine. I mean, the offense, look, I get the frustration with the offense, but at the end of the day, the numbers are the numbers, right? Like, go look at what they hit this regional. It was absurd. I know people get frustrated watching like Judge sometimes, but the dude had like 6 home runs in this regional, had like an OPS of 1,200. I get that sometimes it's frustrating watching him when he gets 2 strikes or whatever, but the kid had a weekend. And there's a lot
like
of guys
Carlos. Like, he had like a Carlos Beltran run, man. And that's what people understand. Like it's okay to celebrate individual greatness and acknowledge greatness, but also acknowledge the frustration. We all agree with the same thing right here. This is not where it's supposed to end up, Colin, right? The Ole Miss is supposed to be playing on. But for this season and what it needed to be, it delivered. Of course, the outcome is all too familiar, and that's why some like Wes Hurst here are like, well, no, I want wholesale change. I get that too, but Ole Miss isn't going to do that, right? Ole Miss isn't going to do that, and why should they after this year, especially with all the money they're paying out for other stuff too? One thing that was really interesting, Trey Luckett, 5 unearned runs, who coaches defense? Also, the 2-strike approach is terrible. Hire a good hitting coach still at the end. We're trying to mitigate the head coach weaknesses. Then Dirty Bird 37, the problem on offense is that we live and die by the home run. Talking about that 2-strike approach again. When it comes to our 0-2, we're still swinging for the fences. Maybe bunt against the shift. Maybe just try to make contact. There is truth to that. There is truth to being beholden to the three true outcomes. That's why Judd can be very frustrated, because he's either knocking the shit out of the ball, either out of the park for an extra base hit, striking out, or walking, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of that, a lot of three true outcomes in this lineup, and that's where, like you said, the portal is going to be important, first of all, for building out the pitching staff, but also for filling some holes. But they've got some good developmental guys like Hayden Frederico who are going to take steps. I'm not giving up on Owen Pano yet. You know what I mean? Think about if Ole Miss would have given up on Gray Kessinger or Thomas Dillard after year one, right? Like, the number one thing for Ole Miss in getting over this hump and taking advantage of what this season was, even though it ended so disappointingly, is exactly what you said. The money that Ole Miss has, man, go swim in the deepest waters, man. Go big fish hunting, right? Like, you need some dudes, and you need to be competing with the best of the best to go get those dudes, and you need as many of the best dudes as you can get, because you are one of the only programs nationally, right? There are maybe, I'd say, 6 to 8. That can really compete for the best of the best, right? And Ole Miss should always be in those conversations, in those recruitments.
Oh, for sure. And you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to go recruit dudes, because I figure, you know, I don't have any insight on this, but I figure they're going to lose a good bit from the pitching staff, just from the draft and maybe transfers and that type thing. And then you're going to lose, you know, a good bit to the draft and in the outfield you're going to lose a good bit to the draft and transfers from guys that didn't play a lot. And then the outfield, I believe, is all seniors, if I'm not mistaken. Well, when you talk about Mormon, obviously Federico's not. And I think that Mormon loss wound up hurting more than they realize. I understand that he had, didn't have the offensive production that people wanted, but I think he would have been good this weekend because I think Ron Moorman's struggles came mostly against velocity, which they didn't see a whole bunch of this weekend. I think that loss wound up hurting them more than they thought it would, but or maybe some fans thought it would. Yeah, just you're right. You got to go recruit dudes, and they did last year, and they didn't the past 2 years. When they went to Omaha and won the national title, they didn't do a great job in the transfer portal that year. And then 24, they didn't do a great job in the transfer portal. They did this year. Just got to do it again. And that's the world you live in. It's a scary one, honestly, because you're to me, you're not developing dudes anymore. You're just having to go replace guys with transfers. But there is a development aspect, like you mentioned with Owen Pano. Like, that kid's got to be better next year because he's got all the talent in the world. Obviously, Hayden Federico, I think, is going to be a really good baseball player for Ole Miss. And then, you know, you obviously hope you keep Judd, keep Will Furness. To me, I think it's important that you keep Braden Randall. I think he's a good player. I really do. And then
he hit the three-run shot last night. That was what was crazy. Us at Cosmos, me and these people I just become friends with because he was wearing an Ole Miss shirt, we started talking about this. He's like, Braden Randall is my guy. And then not a little while later, three-run shot. Of all the people to pull it back to 12 to 11, yeah. I was sure Ole Miss was on to something with that one, bro. Like when Braden hit the bomb, because that's not his game. But defensively, man, you got to have it. You know what I mean? Dirty Bird 37, especially with the team that was so bad defensively, like not playing Braden Randall when you really needed more than anything middle infield defense, that kind of hurt you. Luke Hill is a junior. He's graduated. They expect him to get drafted really high and sign. They would love to get Luke Hill back. They just don't believe that's going to be realistic. Will Furness, they think they can get back. They think he can get Judd back. They're working on Campbell Smithwick and Austin Folley. That's a great starting point. And then really portaling the crap out of pitchers. Javon Campbell says, Coach Bianco needs to learn from Kiffin. Go after the best players in the portal. Can't win with an average team in 2025. This team was so close to being so much better than just average good. Right? You know what I mean? Like, they were a very good team all year. They had a real opportunity. Unfortunately, they just didn't, like you said, have enough horses. So, you look at what they need now, Colin. And I think obviously in the portal, we talked about pitchers, but some are going to say, well, go get a shortstop. I don't disagree. I mean, they've got some shortstop. The Maryland shortstop's in now, Big 12, Big 10, whatever it is. Second teamer hit 29 bombs at Maryland. There are guys you could go to fill it out like that. But you're right. In baseball, even differently from football, from basketball, the developmental piece, you have to have a good mix. You know what I mean? So, like Wayne – you don't want to screw over Owen Pano. Like going into last year, he was can't miss prospects. You don't give up on that because we've seen so much in baseball. Guys like Gray and Thomas Dillard have really shitty freshman years, but then become superstars and major leaguers. You know, so like for the portal needs, for me, it's like as much pitching depth as you can possibly get, and then you know, of course, go bid for every monster hitter you can find, just because you always need to be going after the best players. You're one of the only teams that can do it.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Oh, for sure. You know, and it's interesting. I think you'll see based off how they do in the portal what they think of a guy like Owen Pano. Do they go after the monster shortstop? Because at the end of the day, the monster shortstop costs money. And I don't know what Ole Miss's NIL allocation dollars are, but if they're going to go spend that money, that means, hey, they may be ready to move on from Owen Pano. I don't get the sense that they are.
No.
Yeah, so – do you keep him and a guy like Braden Randall, and is that your middle infield next year? You move Judd back to third. That's a pretty if Pano takes the step that they think he can, it's a pretty good infield. They got to get better defensively in the corners and the outfield. You know, obviously Federico played there this weekend. He was okay. He drops the ball against Western Kentucky. He's fine. Mitch Sanford had a tough year at times in left field. I thought Austin
Such a Collins valuable was, hitter, though, Colin. Yeah, he was so valuable for them.
Yeah, he's a very good hitter. I thought Austin Fowley was good behind the plate. Not just like replacement of Campbell Smithwick. I thought he was actually good behind the plate. So, you know, people can disagree with me there, and I'm not a catching expert by any means, but I thought he did a really good job blocking, throwing, framing pitches. Furness has a tough weekend at first. There's no denying that, but for most of the year, he's been good defensively. I don't necessarily think this team through the course of the year was bad defensively. I think they were bad this weekend. I think they were average defensively on the year and kind of terrible this weekend, if that makes sense. But to win in this league, you can't be average defensively. You have to be above average to good, because there's so many more balls in play now, and people hit the ball so freaking hard that you have to be, to me, you have to be at least above average to good defensively to win.
Mm-hmm. And they just didn't have that all weekend. I mean, the first opening couple innings against Murray State, I mean, two potential double plays that turned into two runs pretty quickly. So, yeah, infield defense, corner outfield defense, that's important. But the other transfer portal needs, I really think that what they're going to have to go do is build out that pitching staff with as many stud arms as they can get. But, you know, really a lot of what their pitching staff is going to be is going to come from guys that you saw show up. Like, there was so much to be encouraged about, even though it didn't end like you wanted it to. There were encouraging things with Walker Hooks. There were encouraging things with Cade Townsend, who had had a struggle to the start of the year. And now look at him, right? Like, he's probably your Friday night guy going into next year. And you could build out your weekend rotation just with starting guys. But the point is like, just like Javon Campbell says, being like Kiffin. Kiffin doesn't care who's on his roster. He did this with Jackson Dart. He went and got Spencer Sanders and Walker Howard.
Yeah.
Like, Kiffin doesn't care who's on his roster. He's going to go and try to sign as many good players as possible. And that sounds simple, because it is. You can never have too many good players. You can't worry in this day and age and worrying about this kid's going to leave, that kid's going to stay. None of that matters anymore, right? What matters is it's survival, winning, and getting as many good players as possible, guarding. Like, it's year to year. Rosters are year to year. But putting that puzzle together for Ole Miss for next year starts with, as they get into this portal, because it opened on Monday. The transfer baseball portal opened on Monday. I'm looking at pitchers first, and what else do they have to have, do you think? Because Dirty Bird 37 says they absolutely need a dude at closer. They've got some. They do need pitching depth. Period. Yeah. I would just argue that, you know, if you made me say the number one needs, I'd say a weekend arm.
Yeah, two weekend arms.
Two weekend arms, ideally, a middle infielder and a corner outfielder. That'd be what I'd go for.
So the closer thing, I agree. Like, Connor Spencer was good at closer this year, and that made a difference for Ole Miss. They do need a dude at closer. But here's the thing: it's hard to go recruit closers, because all these pitchers think they're starting pitchers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if they're not a starting pitcher, they're probably not great. So it's kind of hard to recruit closers. So if you're going to have a shutdown closer, and I agree they need one, I think that probably comes from within. And someone turns into that. I don't know who that person is. You know, until Braden Jones got hurt, I thought it could be him, but you know, obviously he's out with Tommy John. But yeah, no, they definitely need corner outfield spots. They definitely need, you know, weekend arms for sure. And I think that's the one criticism I might would have of what Ole Miss has done over the last 3 years from the transfer portal, is they just haven't gone out and look, they're expensive. It is what it is. They haven't gone out and got that really dominant shutdown weekend dude. They need to do that this year. Whatever it costs, they need to figure it out, because I think if you're going to be successful and have this type of year where you host a regional again next year, and you would know this more than me, I don't know what they expect to return from the guys that started on the weekends this year with Nichols, Maddox, and Elliott. I'm not sure they expect any of them return. I don't know that. But if they don't return, you just expecting you to be able to fill Friday, Saturday, and Sunday roles off whatever's, you know, already on your roster seems a little bit unrealistic. So they need to this year go get the high level transfer. I know he's not had necessarily the year statistically that they wanted, but you know, go get the Zach Root that Arkansas got. you've got to be able to get that dude this year. And I think the emergence and the hiring of Jake Mangrum helps with that. I really do. But you got to do it this year, because I don't know how you go through the SEC next year without going and getting a high-level transfer weekend arm or two.
If Ole Miss ends next year in the exact same place it is in right now, are we just having the same conversations all over again, or do you think Ole Miss does something?
Well, what are we talking? Like, are we talking about a team that's a three seed that goes as a regional, or are we talking about a team that loses a home regional again?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I thought when, like, hosting the regional, even though they lost it, is still an accomplishment, absolutely, right? So, like, it's weird to me how there's this, like, hand-wringing as if Ole Miss didn't host or was a two-seed somewhere and didn't make it out. It's just more of the same, which, again, I understand. But this is against the backdrop of the last 2 years. I was saying after the last 2 years of back-to-backs, like, I would have completely understand Ole Miss would be justified in making a change. But after this year, I give Mike credit, all the credit in the world for yeah, there's still some things that, like, I'm chief bitching and moaning about certain stuff. Some bullpen management. You've been around me a long time.
Yeah, I had some issues there this year, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you know how I am with this here. But where it ended up, again, if it was a compared to a first-year manager, had you gone and hired Dan, Dan's like the great, you know, the great white hope, right? And, like, if you go hire Dan and he comes in here, hosts a regional, gets a game, one run win game away from hosting a Super for the first time since 2009, it's just it's received differently. And that's just the way it is. I understand. That's just culturally how we respond to things and how we do things. But I just, you know, this is not sunshine pump. This is saying, hey, Mike was told you got to do this. Well, he did check a lot of boxes this year. You got to check even more. And, you know, ideally there'll be another step taken next year. If it's not, I don't know what you do. You know what I mean? Like, is it at a stale place? I don't know. But for now, there's no wholesale changes other than in the portal, you better go clean up, you know, like you really got to clean up, especially with arms.
Yeah. So it's hard for me because I don't think you get to talk about this program. Like, sometimes you just lose, right? Like, Arkansas lost 2 years in a row in their own regional when they were a national seed. Like, are we going to talk about Dave Van Horn's not an elite coach? Because he is. And I'm not saying that maybe Mike and Dave Van Horn are on necessarily the same level, so don't misinterpret what I'm saying. But I guess what my point is 2022 happened, right? They won the national title, and I'm not saying, oh, that should behold them to Mike Bianco forever. My point is, I don't really think you can talk about a lack of postseason success anymore going forward and put it like, oh, it's Mike Bianco's fault. Well, sometimes they just lose because I've seen them dogpile in Omaha before. So I don't think this team lost because Mike Bianco was tight like he was accused of. You know, and maybe there's some validity to it. I'm sure there is. But I think they just lost. And so from a program standpoint, I think it was a good year. I really do. I don't necessarily – look, if this program goes 18-12 next year and hosts another regional and loses another regional, I think it'll suck because at the end of the day, it's about all winning in the postseason. I get that. But I've said – and I said it, you know, up until the last 2 years when they were bad in the regular season. I judge a coach a lot on what they do over 56, 60 games more than I do one weekend in June, because I think that actually tells you what your program is. Anybody can have a bad weekend, man. We're talking about the number one and number two seeds just got beat in this thing. It's hard to win in this sport in June. But what do you do consistently? Because if you're consistently – I said this all – you know, again, 21, 22, when everybody was having the discussions, if you were consistently in spots to win postseason games and win national championships, it at some point will happen for you, and it happened for Ole Miss. So – keep putting yourself in there. Keep hosting regionals. Keep being national seeds. Keep maybe get a top eight seed next year. But if you keep doing that, the law of averages, you're going to win at the level you want to win at. And I think that's the reality with Ole Miss. They just lost a baseball game yesterday after losing on Friday night, and it sucks. And obviously, I would have preferred to go back to Swayze this weekend. But I don't think it's a damning moment for the program. Like, I think they're going to rebound, and I think they're going to recruit good players, and I think they're going to hopefully be a national seed again next year or a top 16 seed and host another regional. And you just have to keep doing that, and eventually the door will get kicked down again just like it got kicked down in 2022.
which is more than fair and reasonable, and not sunshine pumping, as Wes Hurst claims, because he wants you to come on here, us to come on here and go, oh, yeah, fire Mike and, you know, clean house and all this stuff. Like, that's not what this is today. That's not how I felt today. I mean, I was celebrating or, like, really enjoying it because I'm here with the in-laws at the beach, and we're sitting here at Cosmos, and they're at the table waiting on some crab legs, bro, and I'm walking into the bar area and watching Ole Miss baseball with, like, this dude I just met. He's from Tippah County. I'm from Union, so it's Ripley, New Albany. Look over here, this table full of young bucks that were just loving some sports, that were kind of into with Ole Miss, like falling pitch to pitch. Guys at the end of the bar, like, that felt like what it used to, right? The last 2 years is what I understand as far as hand-wringing. The last 2 years were inexcusable. Yes. Hell, 2022 up until the title run with John Cohen doing a favor for Mike, inexcusable.
Facts. Right?
Now, if this return of a year back to what Mike did every year except advanced to Omaha, this is what used to be every year. They would be in a regional, usually hosting, wouldn't make a super, or they'd have to go somewhere for a super. They wouldn't make Omaha. Then they made Omaha, and they won a title. And now, and like, no one ever expected Mike to bottom out. That's not what he did. But he did for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And that was obviously unsustainable, period. Completely justified Ole Miss would have been to move on in either one of those years. Hell, they were going to until John Cohen put them in the tournament as the last team in the NCAA tournament 2022. They won 10 of 11 postseason games. He looked at Mike or called Mike and said, hey, don't F it up. And he didn't. He won a national championship to his credit. And these last 2 years were abysmal. But this year they said, this is what you got to do. You got to make a pitching change, coaching change, a pitching coach. You have to do this. You have to do that. And he did those things. And they got back to what they used to do every single year. Now, make it sustainable again. Yep. Get back to Omaha again. You see what I'm saying? But if next year it returns back to the last 2 years, Colin, what do people think are going to happen? It's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, to me.
It's just dumb. I mean, they're going to get rid of him.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If you're the – and I'm not criticizing this person. If you're the person that doesn't like Mike Bianco, doesn't want him to coach Ole Miss baseball, you probably got – and obviously, I'm sure that person wanted to win last night. But what I guess I'm saying is, looking at it from a totality standpoint, he didn't do enough this year to warrant having a terrible year again next year. So they go 8-22 again next year. I think they're probably make a change. I don't think,
of course.
I don't think they're going to go 8-22 next year.
That's what we're saying. I think they did enough this offseason with this team, this rebound team. I don't see that next year. If it is, that's a different conversation. But we've already kind of filled out we know what their plan is as far as roster construction for next year. We just filled out a starting infield with guys. You know, when you say, well, they bring back Brian Round, that's pretty good infield, right? Judd Udemark at third, second base. Hayden Federico's going to figure in somewhere. Campbell Smithwick, if he's not going to be a predominant catcher, he's probably your left fielder. Then all of a sudden, you just got to get a center fielder. Plus, the very best arms you can get, and you're cooking with bacon grease again. And if it all falls apart, well, again, a different conversation. But I think this is exactly the year that Ole Miss needed. Two things can be true. You can look at it and say, hey, this is exactly the rebound season Ole Miss baseball needed. And two, the ending sucked ass. Both things can be true. You know what I mean? Like, it was a crappy end. But for me, it was a strategic decision on Friday gone wrong. Riley Maddox had a bad start. Murray State, great hitting offensive team. And you made the point I meant to make so much earlier in this podcast as we wind this up. You're absolutely right. This NCAA tournament, wide open. The most wide open it's ever been. Number one overall seed, Vanderbilt, bounced. Number two, Texas, bounced. Ole Miss, number 10 overall seed, bounced. You know, like – State did what happened with Mike Bianco, the Chris Lamona situation would happen with Mike Bianco next year if they go through another, if they're a two seed or a regional somewhere, a three seed, you know, like they're playing out the string with a head coach. They're going to be brand new next year. Ole Miss, they have a solid core because they fixed a lot of their issues. Now, make it sustainable again, get back to Omaha, and if not, then the conversations become, not after this. This was an accomplishment. Right? So many successful stories, right? And I don't want that to get lost, man, because people are caught up on the one thing they're always caught up on. It's just like, well, screw it. Mike Bianco sucks. I just don't think that's fair today. So that's all I'm saying.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no. Overall, and I get people upset and emotional. I was there last night, too. But overall, from a team, look, it was fun, right? I went to once to two games during the Auburn series. That was fun because baseball mattered in Oxford. I can tell you where else I went to an Auburn game is 2023. I went to the – and don't ask me why I did this.
Why did you do that?
I went to the last game in 2023 when they were mathematically eliminated from everything against Auburn. That was not fun. I was bored to death. That was fun this year. And, yeah, losing sucked, no doubt. And I get, you know, you talk about the Hunter Elliott and, you know, holding him and it didn't go right. And it was, the decision was fine. But at the end of the day, just to be honest with you, if Riley Maddux pitches like he did this weekend against, you know, if he pitches against Georgia Tech the way he pitched against Murray State, they were going to be in the exact same situation. They weren't going to beat Georgia Tech. So it just kind of, you know, I don't criticize the decision too much at all. Just unfortunate you didn't win.
You just didn't have the pitching depth. You didn't have the pitching depth.
And you almost did. You were one run away from having it. You just didn't. And that goes back to recruit. Look, the same situation in Baton Rouge last night, right? Except LSU did start 2-0. But LSU, over the years, has recruited enough pitching depth to withstand four games. And they went down 5-1 last night. But they had dudes that have developed and they've been there a while that held them. At 5-1, and they gave this offense time. If Ole Miss holds Murray State last night at 6-7, 8-3, they probably come back and win that game with ease. But they just didn't have the dudes that could come in and hold them down because the dudes they were asking to do that had already pitched 2 and 3 times that weekend, and they didn't trust the other guys. So at the end of the day, you just got to recruit better. And that's a process when you consider they haven't recruited great from a portal perspective over the past 2 years up until this year. So do it again this year. Go recruit in the portal. Go get elite dudes that can help you. And hopefully the result's different this year. I don't think this is an overly complicated process. I know this sounds simplistic, but go recruit more good players. And I think that will
specifically help. Pitchers for the depth of that, to where when you make what I thought was a sound and more than reasonable, I probably would have made the same decision to start Riley Maddux on Friday, because that is, you know, when it's a double elimination to get off on the right foot, you want to get to 2-0 so that you have two opportunities to win once to advance out. And you want to set yourself up so you save your best arm next year. You don't want it to be, well, you have to pick, like, what do I do with my best arm? You want to have multiple best arms. You know what I mean? Go get as many best arms as you can so that you can trust making sounds like what is perfectly sound strategy, making those decisions and having more confidence. And this is not to knock Riley Maddux, because Riley Maddux did so much good for them this year. Yes. But at the end of the day, you are what your numbers say you are. And he had an ERA well north of 5 in the SEC. You know what I mean? Like, so he had some great moments and there was some upside there. But at the end of the day, Riley, you know, he wasn't the number two for a team that, you know, really had aspirations for Omaha. If you want to go win another College World Series, I'm not saying you need, you know, 5 Hunter Elliotts, but certainly Wes Mendez could have sure as heck helped you. Liam Dole would have certainly helped you. You know what I mean? Like, there's guys like that. I mean, if you'd have started Hunter on Friday, Liam Dole on Saturday, this team's ticketed for Omaha. You know what I mean? Come on. But that if and buts, candy and nuts, Colin, at the end of the day, it was a bounce-back season for Ole Miss baseball. And while I understand why there's a lot of frustration out there, and trust me, Mike Bianco will tell you, I've been one of the ones that he's most annoyed with how often I'm critical. But I thought this year was exactly what Ole Miss needed as far as a rebound. Now you know exactly what you need to make it sustainable, like it always was until the last 2 years. Because after he won the national title, everybody said, Mike will be here forever now, because he never has shitty seasons.
Yeah.
He never has bottom out seasons. And then he had 2 in a row. Yeah. And this year was more of a return to what we were used to. Can you do it again? Then punch the ticket. That's going to be what's most important. He's Colin Brister. Man, it's good to catch up with you again. It's been too long. He's my resident baseball nerd. He was there at VSporto. He was there when Talk of Champions started at 247, when it moved to On 3. And I was so happy to have Colin back. Make sure to follow. What's your Twitter? Where do you want people to read and follow your stuff at Twitter?
I don't really write anything anymore.
You know what? I'm going to get him a free profile on the Spirit, because I don't even know if he's on the Spirit anymore. And, like, you need to ask him your baseball question. Okay, good. Just, you can put in a message, like a post title. Hey, Colin, Loved you on the pod. Now answer my nerdy baseball questions, because that's all I was doing. I'm here at the beach. My wife's been trying to get me to relax and not work. But, of course, I'm podcasting. I'm watching the game with folks at the bar last night. Unfortunately, Ole Miss came up a run short. Painful way to go to come up, but still, when considering the full totality of the season, it's hard for me not to say, hey, that was a heck of a rebound. That really was. That was exactly the rebound. It fell short. Needed to be more, but it was the rebound it needed to be. Now, next year, if it reverts back to the last 2 years, buddy, just be on Talk of Champions. I promise you the conversation will be a whole hell of a lot different now. Riverland Roofing is our sponsor for Talk of Champions. They will be powering the Celebrity Softball Tournament Thursday, 5 p.m. at the softball field. A Funky's Home Run Derby precedes it. I will be under that tent doing something, either play-by-play or whatever. Might get Colin to jump on with me just to entertain me a little bit. While Lane Kiffin and them are hitting some tanks, Will Allen will be there, former Ole Miss baseball, all-time Ole Miss baseball great. So supporting the Grove Collective, raising some money for it. Come out to the softball field on Thursday. Maybe you'll get your Ole Miss baseball fix with as we now pass the time without Ole Miss sports. Colin, until friggin' August, Colin, this is painful. This is painful. But check that Celebrity Softball, brought to you by Riverland Roofing, who powers us here at Talk Champion. Riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. And the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and affiliate of all three. Colin, you are the man. Let's do it again. And, yeah, go get some dudes in the portal, right? Just go get some dudes.
Hey, no doubt. Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, my man. He's Colin Brister. This has been Talk Champions. You are the man, dude.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility, to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free Blackstone 8-piece accessory kit when you buy a Blackstone 28-inch griddle. Plus, get two free select Craftsman V20 tools when you buy an RP brushless drill and impact driver combo kit. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.